This Family Life News Podcast is made possible by the support of listeners like you.
It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Trump trial underway. Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. Correspondent Eric Shaw starts us off outside the federal courthouse in Manhattan, where opening statements got underway today at the hush money trial of the former president.
We will hear the case against Donald Trump today, and we will hear the case for him as opening arguments begin in this historic and sensational trial.
Trump's accused of falsifying business records to cover up an affair ahead of the 2016 election. Legal analyst Laura Jarrett.
Today is all about giving this jury in New York a roadmap of what's to come. For prosecutors, the story is one involving an alleged affair, a payoff, a presidential election, and of course, a cover-up. While the defense team hopes to persuade this jury that if there was a crime, the state cannot prove that Donald Trump had anything to do with it.
Correspondent Haley Jackson says the political fallout from this trial is a huge unknown going into a high-stakes election.
His legal issues helped him in the primary, and it does seem to be resonating with at least his base, his constant complaints that this system is rigged against him. 43% of people in our latest polling say that they do believe that it's stacked against the former president.
California Governor Gavin Newsom fears the trial could give Trump a boost in November.
When we're focusing on him, I do worry electorally that he has a slight advantage. And so I'm a little concerned about the overindulgence. Less is more as it relates to our obsession and focus on putting any more bright lights on someone who seeks them.
The trial expected to last through the end of May. Crisis on campus. That's the other big story today. All classes at Columbia University are virtual today as anti-Semitic rallies continue. Aaron McLaughlin continues our coverage.
Last week, more than 100 protesters were arrested on campus, and now a rabbi is urging Jewish students to return home as soon as possible, citing concerns over their safety. And classes today are happening virtually. All of this ahead of Passover, the Jewish holiday, which begins sundown tonight.
Pro-Palestinian protesters have been carrying on for days at Columbia, even after police moved in to make arrests. These Jewish students say they don't feel safe on campus anymore.
As a Jew, I no longer feel welcome on campus. I no longer feel safe on campus. I no longer feel like I belong.
To be honest, I think my safety has definitely been compromised in a lot of ways over the past few days.
The anti-Semitic rhetoric happening not just at Columbia. There were riot police at Yale University today in New Haven, Connecticut, as hundreds of students staged demonstrations there. A $95 billion foreign aid package will be voted on tomorrow in the U.S. Senate.
On this vote, the yeas are 311 and the nays are 112. The bill is passed.
It passed the House by an overwhelming majority over the weekend. That vote, however, could cost House Speaker Mike Johnson his job.
Mike Johnson's speakership is over. He needs to do the right thing to resign and allow us to move forward in a controlled process. Yeah. If he doesn't do so, he will be vacated.
Georgia conservative Marjorie Taylor Greene, former Congressman Jason Chaffetz, calls the ouster effort unproductive.
She would be, I think, better off to shoot that ire that she has towards the Democrats and try to get them to explain why they won't secure our borders. They'll secure everybody else's, but they won't secure our own.
Mike Johnson assumed the mantle of Speaker just 6 months ago. The foreign aid bill provides much needed money for Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan. It also forces TikTok to divorce itself from Chinese control. The U.S. Supreme Court hearing a case today on whether communities have the right to crack down on homeless encampments. The justices will decide whether it constitutes cruel and unusual punishment to fine or put behind bars somebody who sleeps outside on public property if they have nowhere else to go. Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass is safe today after an intruder broke into her home last night. Chelsea Edwards in Los Angeles.
That intruder got into her home here in the Hancock Park area. Her reps say she is is okay, but I just spoke with a lieutenant who said the suspect appears to have hurt himself while breaking in through a glass door.
The mayor and her family were home at the time of the break-in. Today is Earth Day, the annual event to celebrate our only home. Monica Medina at the U.S. State Department.
Today's Earth Day, the theme is planet or plastic.
Jennifer DePinto is a pollster for CBS News.
Views on climate change continue to be related to political partisanship as they long have been. 74% of Democrats say climate change needs to be addressed right now, compared to just 29% of Republicans who say that. And age is a factor, too. Younger Americans are more likely than those who are older to say the U.S. needs to take steps to help reduce climate change.
The first Earth Day happened 53 years ago in 1970 and called on people to fight for environmental causes, much the same way that they were protesting the Vietnam War. Major League Baseball megastar Shohei Ohtani set a big league record yesterday.
It lands halfway up the pavilion in right field as Shohei Ohtani hits number 176, and he has more home runs in the major leagues than any Japanese-born player.
We'll have more coming up in sports later in the broadcast. Also ahead on the Noon Report, House hearing on marijuana, previewing primary day, and gas prices keep going up.
Good afternoon. I'm Kevin Williams, calling for bright skies this afternoon. We'll check forecast details in 10.
All right, Kevin, we will see you then. Let's check the stories making news across New York and Pennsylvania next. A funeral service is happening today for the second of two law enforcement officers killed in the line of duty last Sunday in Syracuse. Onondaga County Sheriff's Deputy Michael Husak is being eulogized at the state fairgrounds. He and Officer Michael Jensen died after being ambushed while investigating reports of a stolen vehicle. Tomorrow is primary day in Pennsylvania. U.S. Senate candidate Dave McCormick's not facing any GOP challenger, and he likes his chances against incumbent Democrat Bob Casey in the fall.
Bidenomics, which Bob Casey has supported every step of the way, has been terrible for Pennsylvanians. 60% of Pennsylvanians live paycheck to paycheck.
Pennsylvania is a closed primary, meaning only registered Republicans and Democrats can take part. Polls are open tomorrow from 7 in the morning until 8 o'clock in the evening. The pain at the pump just keeps getting worse for drivers across New York and Pennsylvania. Prices are more than 10 cents higher today than they were just a week ago. Regular unleaded averaging $3.69 a gallon in New York. It's over $3.80 a gallon now in Pennsylvania. New York State has a state budget, albeit 3 weeks late. The $237 billion package restores proposed cuts to public schools. Republican Chris Tate says because of Albany dysfunction, however, schools are being left in limbo for way too long.
When you have the process take so long, you look at our school districts that are trying to put their budgets together, and they don't even know what kind of funding they're going to have for their school.
Still, lawmakers seem relieved that the fiscal fight is over with for now. Democrat Monica Wallace says there was a lot of horse trading in the final days of negotiation.
It always reminds me of that Mick Jagger song. You can't always get what you want, but you get what you need.
The massive spending bill includes plans to spur new housing and combat illegal marijuana shops. It also expedites the closure of state prisons while addressing the recent influx of illegal immigrants. A hearing happens in the Pennsylvania House this Thursday on efforts to decriminalize recreational marijuana. Scheduled to testify at that hearing is a doctor from Colorado. Colorado, by the way, was the first state to permit pot back in 2012, pot for recreational purposes. This doctor will explain why Pennsylvania should not go the way of Colorado and keep the ban on the drug in place. A famous American hostage and Western New York native has died. Here's Family Life's Dee Haley.
Terry Anderson, the Associated Press correspondent who became one of America's longest held hostages after being kidnapped in Lebanon in 1985 and held for 6 years, has died at the age of 76. Anderson, a journalist and combat veteran, chronicled his abduction and imprisonment by Islamic militants in his best best-selling 1993 memoir, Den of Lions. Anderson died yesterday at his home in Greenwood Lake, New York. Anderson graduated from nearby Batavia High School in 1965. Dee Haley, Family Life News.
Thank you, Dee. Pennsylvania students will have an extra month to complete the federal aid application for college. The agency that administers student grants is pushing back FAFSA form deadlines again, this time to June 1st. This decision was made due to a high number of errors and delays from the Federal Education Department. Wawa convenience stores are expanding in central Pennsylvania. The Philly-based chain plans to open 40 new Wawas in the Commonwealth in the coming months. President Brian Schaller says they're not in a turf war, though, with that other PA convenience chain, Sheetz.
We respect the Sheetz company immensely. We both do food and beverages. We compete with them today in about 60 stores in Virginia, Lancaster a little bit.
Wawa stores are coming to York, Dover, Hanover, Middletown, and Enola by the end of the year. New York's No Empty Chair Highway Safety Awareness Campaign for Teenagers is underway in New York State. It typically coincides with prom season and spring break, which a lot of schools are on right now. It's designed to educate young drivers about safe driving practices. Police will also be increasing patrols near schools to get dangerous drivers off the road. The No Empty Chair campaign runs through Friday. Motor vehicle crashes are the leading cause of death among young adults in this country. An author, pastor, and clinical researcher tells Family Life News cell phones have no place in the classroom. Where do you see this train going as we go into the next generation of kids who are addicted to digital devices?
Off the cliff. The train is going off the cliff.
That is Brad Huddleston, and he's authored three books that expose the dangerous underbelly of digital addiction.
Well, you have to think of our digital devices, regardless of the content, as a drug.
Huddleston says social media should be regulated, TikTok should be banned, and digital devices need to be eliminated from schools.
We chase those dopamine hits by keeping our heads down longer and longer and longer to the screen and scroll and getting to the next level of the video games, watching the next episode and series on Netflix, and things like that. And it's the exact same hit that you would get when you go from one beer to the next or one line of cocaine to the next. And that's what makes this so scary.
We're talking more to Brad Huddleston later this week on the Family Life Noon Report. Check in your sports news next. The NBA and NHL playoffs are heating up. We'll start on the hardwood. The Boston Celtics blew out the Miami Heat. Game one of their first round series last night. Jason Tatum scored a triple-double in that one. Elsewhere in the Eastern Conference, Damian Lillard exploded for 35 points in the first half as the Milwaukee Bucks took down the Indiana Pacers. Out west, the LA Clippers earned a gutsy game one victory over the Dallas Mavericks without Kawhi Leonard in the lineup. And the top seed in the West, the Oklahoma City Thunder, surviving a near upset to the New Orleans Pelicans 94-92 year final. On the ice, the New York Rangers and Florida Panthers both jumped out to 1-0 leads in their first round playoff series with wins on Sunday. The Blue Shirts cruised past the Capitals 4-1 in New York. Florida beat in-state rival Tampa 3-2. The Jets and Canucks also grabbing series leads with game one wins. The Jets clipped the Avalanche 7-6 in Winnipeg. The Canucks doubled up the Predators 4-2 in Vancouver. Baseball news, Shohei Ohtani's two-run blast in the third inning of the Dodgers' 10-0 win over the Mets Sunday. Not your typical home run. It moved him past former Yankee star Hideki Matsui for the most homers ever by a Japanese-born player. The Yankees beat the Rays yesterday 5-4. They take 2 of 3 from Tampa in the Bronx, remain atop the AL East. The Red Sox blew out the Pirates to sweep that three-game set at PNC Park. With the loss, Pittsburgh drops to 500 on the season after a strong start. Interleague play, the Phillies, no problem over the lowly White Sox. 8-2 your final. Kyle Schwarber clubbed home run number 6 on the season. Bryce Harper drove in a pair of runs. Phillies won 6 straight and is currently in second place in the NL East. At the Family Life Sports Desk, I'm Bob Pryor.
advice.
And still to come on this Monday edition of the Noon Report, anti-Semitism in the Ivy League, Trump on trial in New York City, and pro-lifers labeled terrorists. We'll have the story after this.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. On Friday, the U.S. Department of Education released updated regulations for Title IX. The result is bad for parents, potentially harmful for children, and turns the protections for young women completely on their head. Title IX is a section of the Civil Rights Code. It was passed in 1972, designed to ensure equal access and protection for women in public education programs and activities. At the heart of Title IX is the legal recognition that within public education, there shall be no discrimination, quote, on the basis of sex. This was designed to include athletic participation, facilities, and scholarships, among other things. Each presidential administration, through relevant departments, issue clarifications on how to apply federal law. These interpretations end up as rules that are necessary for receiving federal dollars. The Biden administration's new regulations for Title IX alters the definition of sex discrimination to the extent that women will no longer be guaranteed the equality in education that Title IX was designed to ensure. Specifically, the new rules, which, by the way, are over 1,500 pages long, expand the category of sex to include, and I quote, sexual orientation, gender identity, sex stereotypes, and sex characteristics. At the same time, the rule fails to define what sex is at all, or to even note biological sex as being essential to the category. In fact, the department has argued, and I quote, that sex can encompass many traits, and it is not necessary for the regulations to define the term for all circumstances. End quote. The Department of Education's failure here to clearly define sex reflects an intentional departure from, and I quote, long-standing scientific understandings of the human person, and marks the latest advancement of gender ideology via politics into culture. This regulation seeks to legally normalize the increasingly contested idea of gender identity and to reinforce so-called gender-affirming care and transition interventions, which have caused so much harm. But even worse, the rules now strengthen the ability of schools to lead children down these dangerous paths without the responsibility of informing or securing consent from parents. And the new regulations also threaten to roll back the opportunities and the protections of women and girls. Specifically, the rules designate that the very opportunities and the protections designed for women can now be enjoyed by anyone who declares themselves to be a woman. And as we've seen over and over again, trans-identifying men who participate in women's sports have an unfair advantage, and it also leads to a violation of women's private spaces. These new regulations make plain the significance of ideas and their consequences, especially when they take on the force of the rule of law. But it's also plain here that elections have consequences, and there's too much at stake now for us to sit out the political process. At this point, given the back and forth of the administrative state and such critical departments like education and health and human services, Christians have to stop thinking about voting as a choice between the lesser of two evils and instead think of it, as one of my friends puts it, as how to best lessen evil. And make no mistake, these are regulations that will increase evil. Far from being the policy for everyone that Education Secretary Miguel Cardona described, it instead prioritizes dangerous ideas over the well-being of children. It prioritizes the prerogative of the state over and against the rights of parents. And it prioritizes the wishes of trans-identifying men over the safety and well-being of women. Applying this new guidance will run contrary, not only to the original intent of Title IX, but to the notion of human dignity in general. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
Thank you, John. Outside next, Kevin Williams.
Here is your family life weather forecast. The call for this afternoon, bright and sunny, comfortable. The high temperatures, upper 40s to the upper 50s. Tonight, moonlit for a while, low temps 30s. Clouds increase tomorrow. Showers will arrive near Lake Erie before noon, but not until late day across areas east of I-81. High temperatures tomorrow reaching into the 60s for many. Showers will be numerous tomorrow night, much chillier Wednesday. Some scattered rain showers, maybe a few flakes in the higher elevations, high temperatures, mostly in the 40s on Wednesday.
All right, Kevin, thank you very much. This is the Noon Report. I'm your host, Bob Price. Lots going on Monday, the 22nd of April. Opening statements in the hush money trial of Donald Trump got underway today in New York City.
Seven men and five women will decide if Trump falsified business records about an alleged hush money payment to adult film actress Stormy Daniels. She's expected to testify, as is Trump's former lawyer, Michael
Michael Cohen, who says he paid the money to Daniels. Trump has said he also plans to take the stand in the first criminal trial of a former U.S. president. Wendy Gillette, New York.
Trump attorney Will Scharf thinks the facts of this case are on the side of the ex-president.
And as long as the jury focuses on the facts, as long as the jury can see through all the media coverage and all the sensationalism and focus on the actual facts at issue in this case, we believe we have a winning case.
The Trump trial expected to last through the month of May. Proceedings end early today for Passover and the fact that one of the jurors has a toothache and needs to see the dentist. All classes are online today at Columbia University in New York City. No in-person learning because of anti-Semitic rallies. They've gotten so heated that some students don't feel safe on campus. Correspondent Madeline Rivera.
A rabbi at Columbia University told Jewish students to go home, saying Columbia University cannot guarantee Jewish students' safety in the face of extreme anti-Semitism and anarchy.
More than 100 Columbia students were arrested last week after the university president ordered a Gaza solidarity encampment dismantled. More from reporter Tanya J. Powers.
Campus protests have gone on for almost a week, and on Saturday, some Jewish students were targeted with anti-Semitic verbal attacks, resulting in responses from New York City Mayor Eric Adams, New York Governor Kathy Hochul, and the White House, denouncing calls for violence against Jews.
Riot police were on hand today at another Ivy League school, Yale University, as pro-Palestinian protests broke out there in New Haven, Connecticut. A new NBC News poll shows where the candidates for president stand, with a little over 6 months to go before the election. Donald Trump enjoys a 2-point lead over Joe Biden, but, says Peter Ducey at Fox News,
when RFK Jr. and others are listed on a 5-way ballot, that is a sign that RFK could be hurting Trump more than he is hurting Biden. Biden is also found in this new survey to be the better candidate on the issues of abortion and unifying the country, but on every other major issue, he is trailing Trump.
Some hardliners in the U.S. House are calling for the ouster of Speaker Mike Johnson. It's because of Saturday's passage of a massive foreign aid bill. Capitol Hill correspondent Ryan Noble.
Those conservative Republicans you're talking about, they worked very hard to pressure the Speaker Mike Johnson not to bring any form of Ukraine funding up for a vote. But now, after passing the House easily, the Senate will act this week, and Ukraine will receive a much-needed injection of weapons and funding at a time when they need it the most.
The Senate expected to finalize the $95 billion aid package tomorrow. The head of Israeli military intelligence has resigned. It's because of failures that allowed Hamas terrorists to invade Israel back on October 7th. Governor Hochul will sign soon that three-week-late New York budget.
The $237 billion spending plan is 3% more than last year. The budget includes a housing plan that gives more protection to tenants and tax breaks for developers that rent portions of buildings at below market prices. Nearly $2.5 billion is being set aside for the migrant crisis. The budget also extends mayoral control of city schools and gives the city more tools to shut down illegal cannabis shops. Scott Pringle, New York.
The U.S. Supreme Court hearing arguments today on whether homeless people can camp out on public property. This case tests the reach of local ordinances, says Jeremiah Hayden, a homeless advocate from Washington, D.C.
There's not been a homelessness case that has gone this far through the legal system. Ever.
Opponents argue an Oregon law that allows police to dismantle encampments amounts to cruel and unusual punishment. And a pro-life group is weighing legal action after being placed on a database that tracks violent extremism. Student for Life America was lumped on the same list as the KKK and Hamas by the University of Maryland PIRUS Project. PIRUS stands for Profiles of Individual Radicalization in the United States. Students for Life has sent a cease and desist letter demanding it be removed from that list. You're listening to the Noon Report, a Monday edition on the Family Life Radio Network. And Welcome back to another edition of Issues in Education. Mondays during the Noon Report, we spotlight the issues impacting our schools with the one and only Dr. Ralph Kerr at the Teaching and Learning Institute in beautiful Houghton, New York. Ralph, we have much to discuss. These are busy days across New York and Pennsylvania when it comes to education. I wanted to start in New York. You know, a lot of districts are putting forth their spending plans for the coming year. And like you said last week, it is fiscal dire straits for many of them. How are districts able to ascertain how much aid they'll be getting?
Well, flip a coin, and if it comes down heads, it'll be close to what we got last year with maybe a little increase. If it comes down tails, we might as well close the store.
Yeah, it's crazy right now. It's really all a guessing game, isn't it?
It absolutely is. The thing that really bothers me is, by law, the state is supposed to have their budget in place by April 1st. That doesn't seem to matter. I remember a few years ago, I confronted our state senator about that and said, how do you expect school districts to fulfill their legal responsibility to produce budgets in a timely manner? But you folks just seem to ignore that. You can imagine she wasn't very friendly with that question, but that's exactly the situation, and it's ridiculous to insist that schools tell their taxpayers what their budget's going to be when the state doesn't carry their load in a timely fashion. And it's really too bad that the state has put the schools in that situation.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about one of your favorite topics, cell phones in the classroom. This made headlines in Pennsylvania this week. State Senator Ryan Aumet says, I'm going to incentivize them doing away with these devices. I'll give grants to districts that set up these special lockers where kids can put them in the locker and then they can get them at the end of the day. I mean, he says it's been a total disruption in the education process. Is there proof, Ralph, these devices are a detriment to learning in school?
Yes, there is. There's been a body of research that does show there is harmful effect of social media on adolescent mental health. Teenagers in particular are on their phones almost constantly. The thing is, though, that nationally 77% of schools now have some kind of a ban in place, which I think is a good thing. And here's the positive of all of this. School districts now are showing data that bullying and disciplinary referrals have actually dropped since they instituted the ban. Mm-hmm. And also, and this is so telling in my mind, that social interaction has skyrocketed. People are actually talking to each other.
Wow, imagine that. Well, hey, the tuition assistance program, some big changes. You know, TAPS remain pretty stagnant for the last 25 years, and critics are saying this is why kids aren't going to college. They can't afford it because we've made the guidelines so strict. The minimum payment of $500 is now $1,000, and they're also expanding the income eligibility guidelines for TAP. Do you think, Ralph, this will work in boosting those college enrollment numbers?
Well, I think it will help, particularly this year with the FAFSA debacle that the feds got the schools into. So any money that can come to parents that are trying to make a decision with their teenager about which school to go to is really helpful. The only downside of that, I would say, is it's like the loan forgiveness program. Where is that money coming from?
And it's probably why the state budget was $4 billion more than what the governor suggested just a couple of months ago. Now I think it's up to like $237 billion. So what's a couple billion if you're talking,
Who's counting?
Yeah, who's counting? Come on. And then finally, Ralph, you know, there was an interesting article in Pennsylvania this week about the four-day work week at school. Something like 900 districts across the country in 25 states have adopted this. Pennsylvania does allow it, but not many have adopted this voluntary program. Why do you think that is?
Well, partially because the studies that have been done so far show that cost savings are really minimal. Most school budgets are made up of like 85% of the budget is pay, salaries, and benefits. Mm-hmm. And that's not going to be impacted by going to a four-day school week. Also, what the research has shown is that longer days are really tough on younger children.
Yeah.
It also impacts sports and clubs. And it also impacts parents. Again, the research is showing that while it may have been conceptually a good idea, practically it turns out to be less beneficial than people may have thought from the beginning.
All right. And just like that, our time is up. But, hey, we've been a lot of places the last 5 minutes. If you have a question about any of the topics discussed on today's show, I'm sure Dr. Kerr would love to hear from you. Ralph, where can folks find you online?
They can simply go to yrun.org, yrun.org.
All right, thank you very much, Dr. Ralph Kerr. Issues in education comes your way Mondays during the Noon Report or online anytime at familylife.org. Just look for the news tab on the podcast page.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Well, on the weather map, high pressure is dominating our area from southeastern Canada, and the result, a bright sky this afternoon. Our next weather maker is a cold front heading east from the Dakotas. It'll be preceded by milder air tomorrow, but accompanied by showers as it arrives later in the day and at night. Another chunk of chilly air moves in for midweek. The call for this afternoon, bright and sunny, comfortable. The high temperatures, upper 40s to the upper 50s. Tonight, moonlit for a while, low temps 30s. Clouds increase tomorrow. Showers will arrive first thing in areas near Lake Erie before noon, but not until after late day across areas east of I-81. High temperatures tomorrow reaching into the 60s for many. Showers will be numerous tomorrow night, much chillier Wednesday. Some scattered rain showers, maybe a few flakes in the higher elevations. High temperatures mostly in the 40s on Wednesday.
All right, he's not talking cornflakes there, though they are frosted. Kevin Williams at the Weather Center. And finally at noon... are celebrating candy, in particular the jelly bean.
Today we celebrate these tiny bundles of sugary delight as it's National Jelly Bean Day. While they're most consumed around the Easter season, jelly beans are one of the most popular candies in the world. They have a long history clear back to the mid-1800s, believed to have been inspired by the sweet candy known as Turkish Delight, comprised of rich fruit and powdered sugar. They appeared in their current form around the turn of the 19th century. President Ronald Reagan famously loved jelly beans, and today they are available in hundreds of flavors from gourmet varieties to the standard and sometimes unliked black licorice. So today, why not make jelly beans a quick snack or grab a handful? And I promise I won't tell your dentist if you won't tell mine. Brian Querrey, Family Life News.
All right, Brian, your secret's safe with me. And just like that, folks, we are out of time. That is the world we live in, Monday, April 22nd. I'm Bob Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to The Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to this Family Life News podcast. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard, please share it with others and click the subscribe button to automatically receive future episodes. Family Life is a listener-supported ministry. Podcasts like this are made possible by your financial partnership. Find out more at familylife.org.